Oh, a sound of great things I have in me, the burning by God.
Matthew 26, 38 to 40. The point three, the C. All right? What did I say? I said, do what? Choose what?
A duration for your quiet time.
Is that what I said? So, then Jesus said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Next verse. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Next verse. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? It means Jesus was shocked. I said, this scripture, I'll preach it one day. The understanding the Lord gave me, I cried. In fact, I crowed. You know, Jesus came and he says, what? You know, when somebody comes and says, what? You understand? The person is shocked. It's actually a story of the pastor and his pastors. It's a story of the leader and his leaders. That at the point that the man of God's soul is deeply sorrowful unto death, they were sleepy. It's a serious one. Hallelujah. Then Jesus can says, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? My leaders are better. My leaders, they will watch at least for 1 hour, they will watch. It tells you against Jesus' heart. They can't pray for 1 hour. We are not joking here. They can't kill. So Jesus went with them actually. And he said, oh, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. I don't know, I'm about to die. And I'm in pain, my heart pain. The sin of the world is piling up on me. And Jesus actually was seeing visions of how the sin actually looked like. Because when he was in heaven, he was saying, I will die. When they were looking for somebody to open the seal, everybody was quiet. Jesus said, give it to me, let me open. He didn't know that. So now, he started seeing visions. The last days of Jesus, actually, if you look at his life, it was not good at all. Like, he changed his confession. You remember in Matthew 16, one day when we go to heaven, we'll talk to him. Say, hey, Lord. Yeah, in Matthew 16. And then he asked, who do men say I am? And then Peter said, oh, you are the Son of God. Blah, blah, blah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Then the Bible says, beginning from there, he started telling them how. And then Peter said that, oh, let me be far from you, Lord. You will not die, you will live to declare the works of the Lord. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't know the cup my Father has given me to drink. So bold and confident. Finally, the cup was given. He said, please. So he was praying. And, no, where are you now? And he found them sleeping. He came back. So after he was praying a little, he was coming to see the people who were supporting him in prayers. And then they were asleep. See that as a leader, as a pastor, that sometimes you have to just go and pray yourself. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. Because we can say we're all having fasting. All the leaders, we are having fasting and we are praying. What somebody is doing in the room, you don't know. You understand? Okay, let's continue. Hey, this is why you are saying, there. Okay, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's where it came from. All right. Yeah, so that thing was a proverb, long time proverb in the days. Like, I want to do it, but my flesh is. You know, be a call night or two. Sunsum no painting or buying. Now, honam na emre. All right, next verse. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass me unless I drink it, your will be done. Next verse. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Next verse. So he left them, went in and prayed the third time, saying the same words. 45, Lazarus. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? This scripture tells a lot about the disciples and Jesus. Jesus had a problem with them sleeping and resting. Shouldn't we rest? And Jesus said, are you still sleeping and rest? I think we have to have, are you still sleeping and resting conference? Are you still sleeping and resting? Yeah. Behold, the hour is at hand. Of man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. You see, so there is no, what I want to say is very simple. There is no specific given time for a person to read his Bible or to fellowship or have his quiet time. Most of the people ask the question, how long should my quiet time take? Some people say 15 minutes. I don't know what you'll be doing with 15 minutes with the Lord. All right? You're having quiet time for 15 minutes. What's your problem? So, going through the word, I found out Jesus, let's go back to where he said, you couldn't watch with me for 1 hour. And it seems to Jesus like, even if you didn't do at all, as for 1 hour, you should do. So 1 hour is the SI unit for any activity. Yeah, you can't be praying and you prayed for 30 minutes. You didn't start the prayer. I told you, like, listen, when you go to Acts, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and the day of the Jews actually started at 6. And when Apostle Peter was saying that, it is still early and it is 9 o'clock in the morning. So they had been praying in tongues when the Holy Ghost came first, fresh. He drove them to pray in tongues. It was 3 hours before they opened their mouth to talk. So it means that if you pray less than that in tongues and you begin to talk, you'll be saying rubbish. Yeah, I'll teach you that. It's serious. Like what I'm telling you is very serious. The moment you pray in tongues and you do like 30 minutes and talk, it'll still be rubbish. You get into the depth of the prayer after 3 hours. Yeah. That's where prophecies will be hard, where your faces are. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, if you go, Lama San, Telebelebelemen, how many of you have been away from the Lord for a very long time and you start like, oh, make that praying? The first day you are praying, it's like you are still a sinner. It takes some time before, that's how spiritual things are. The moment you begin, your mind will be moving around. Oh, this one is ringing a bell. If you are coming from the market, somebody say, oh, tomato. Somebody say, oh. So the apostles, go there. It took 3 hours before Peter spoke. And remember, after 3 hours of speaking, they looked like drunk men. This dawn, it was what I was studying in my quiet time. It was very powerful. Go there, chapter 2, verse 1. Day of Pentecost, chapter 2. If you don't pause, I can even read it myself. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one place. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next verse. So this is 6. No, do NLT. Do NLT. It will give us the time. So, and there came a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Next verse. Then what looked like flames, my God, or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each. My God, my God. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages. This one is wrong. They didn't speak in other languages. So in tongues. Are we together? As the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Next verse. At that time, there were devout Jews from every living in Jerusalem. Oh, let's do it. This is not part of the church. Oh. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running and they were bewildered. Here, their own languages being spoken by the believers. That's why I tell you, they didn't speak in other languages. This doesn't make sense. All right? Yeah, King James, they were not speaking other languages. You know, they say, oh, in Acts 2, the Jehovah's Witness people will tell you that, oh, what happened was that they spoke the language they didn't know. It's not true. They spoke in tongues and the people heard it in their language. The miracle was not on the speakers. The miracle on the side, they had received the Holy Spirit. The miracle of the understanding was on the people. We are talking about 120 people. No, the research I was doing this dawn was that the apostles spoke 8 languages with diverse dialects. You know, there's a difference between a dialect and a language. For example, the tribe called Akan. There's a language called Akankasa. Then there are dialects inside. So you have Fantis, you have what do you call it? Yeah, so they are all speaking Cree, but they are Cree in some way. So we have Fanti Cree, Akan Cree. So they spoke 8 languages with various dialects. And the people say that we hear them speak in our native language. So all the 120, so if we are talking about 8, let's even forget about the dialect. We are talking about 8 languages. And the 100 and speaking 8 languages at the same time, it's never possible. You understand what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. So all of them will hear the 120 in Asante. And this one, 120 in, then 120. So they were speaking one language. It was the understanding that was different. So it's no wonder when you speak in tongues, you have to speak somebody's language which you have not learned. That's book. You speak in Loba Shande Barade, and God will open the ear of the person to hear what you are talking about. You understand what I'm talking about? Sure. So let's continue. I'm not even talking about that. Verse 7. They were completely amazed. How can this be claimed? These people are all from Galilee. This is where my destiny was. But I won't talk to you about this morning. And yet we hear them in our own native languages. Next verse. So go to 11. All these people, don't mind them. Go to 11. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. Then verse 13. And others saying they are just drunk. That's all. Next verse. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. They had been praying from 6. It was when it was 9 that Peter stood up. So Peter said that means, everybody was shouting. So he stood up and he lifted his voice. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So if you really want to say that you want to feel tongues, you should not do less than 3 hours. Lekatalaba 30 minutes, you'll still be a normal human being. 1 hour, then you are bubbling. 2 hours, then your spirit is ascending. 3 hours, start getting drunk. Because the people say these people are drunk. Some people, those who were hearing, and that's where the miracle is. Some people heard it, some people understood it, and some people heard sound. That's why they say they were drunk. So they were speaking their language. It's not possible. So those who, God knows those people who believe. Those who do not believe, he didn't give them the understanding. So they just saw, and Jews were saying, God raised Jesus from the dead, if you believe in him. And those were the wondrous things the apostles were talking about. They were the gospel in tongues. Ah, hallelujah. I wish I had living creatures in this place. Hallelujah. So 3 hours. Then they were dozing, they were, you know, hooky miki hooku. So you see apostle looking at Peter looking at James. And James, you know, it looks very foolish, but it's very powerful. So 3 hours, hallelujah. Tell somebody.
3 hours.
Come on, tell somebody 3 hours.
3 hours.
Say 3 hours.
3 hours.
So it takes 3 hours to get into the riches of tongues. Before 1 hour, 2 hours, you are not anywhere. I'm still scratching the surface. 3 hours and beyond, then you are getting into the riches of tongues. Yeah. So Jesus says, begin with 1 hour. Hallelujah. Just begin with 1 hour. So he says, couldn't you watch with me for an hour? So your quiet time is 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Please forget about it. You are not a Christian. No, you are not. You can't be a Christian and be having a quiet time for 15 minutes. So what will you do in the 15 minutes? 5 minutes to pray, 5 minutes to read the Bible. Ah! Which God are you serving? Hallelujah. So Jesus said you should watch with me for how long? 1 hour. How many our quiet time is less than 1 hour. Be true to yourself. The word of God comes to correct us. Let me see. Okay. Yes. Can you imagine that? Less than. But if you ask, did you come today? We say yes. No, please. No, please. So that is what it is. 1 hour. Solid 1 hour. Praise the Lord. Okay. Last but one. Daily prepare your heart. The D is daily prepare your heart and mind before entering into quiet time. So right now, you know that if you're having your quiet time, you should do at least 1 hour. Are we together? So all those of you who are having 15 minutes, please stop it. 1 hour is fine. 7:10, King James Version. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the face of the Lord and do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. Hallelujah. So this man that prepared his heart to seek the word. It takes one whose heart is prepared. The word prepared to you. It takes one whose heart is prepared to seek God. You can't seek God with a haphazard heart. All right? There you are. You feel like, oh, you pray when you feel like it. Then the day you don't feel like, stop. Mm-mm. We don't seek the face. We don't seek God like that. We seek God with a prepared heart. Tell somebody a prepared heart. Come on, say a prepared heart. See, meeting God is, having a meeting with God is not something that's casual for you to be casual about. You know that some people, time is at 12, all right? Maybe 12 noon. 11:45, they are still watching a movie. They are waiting for the alarm to ring. So then they pause the movie and they go and then quite quickly read the Bible. You didn't have a quiet time. You had the evil time. You have to, your heart has to be prepared that you are seeking, you are going to have your quiet time. All right? You should be prepared like 15 before. If your quiet time is at 12, your alarm should not be ringing at 12. Your alarm should be ringing at 11:45 or 11:50, 10 minutes. Then you use it to prepare yourself. Hallelujah. Come on, are we together in this place? Yeah, you prepare your heart. Oh, you are moving. And then over here you say, hey, I'm here. Look on your phone. And Jesus came to Mary and said, Mary, who are thou? Who are thou? Who are thou? Who are thou? Okay, who are thou? Who are thou? Close the Bible. No, please. That's not quiet time. Prepare your heart. All right? The preparing of your heart is that you are ready. So you always get ready for the Lord. If you don't have a prepared heart, you are going to have something that's called dry spells. I will come to that right now. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 12:14. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. All of us, let's read it. 1, 2, go. So he's talking about King Rehoboam. That he did not his heart, so he did evil. The word prepare is K-U-N. All right? Is kun or can call it is K-U-N. It means to be determined, to be steadfast, stable, or to fix. So the man did evil because he did not establish his heart to seek the Lord. See, this is very important. There are a lot of us, we get into fellowship with God when you start hearing messages like this. The moment we move from month of fellowship and say we are talking about working for the Lord, work for the Lord and forget your fellowship with God. The things that you are being taught at church, it's not like when we are done 1 month, then we put it somewhere. And then it's a consistent life. Consistent life. See, I saw that when I started talking about, when we were talking about giving and all of that, the offerings kind of like doubled. And everybody was rushing to pay. Right now, after that, we spoke about praise. Then we spoke about that. Then right now we are talking about fellowship. That is not how you are supposed to be. Are we together? The preparation of heart is you establishing your heart that from this forward, this is what I do. So it has become a culture. Are we together in this place? And the Bible says, when your heart is not prepared, like King Rehoboam, when his heart was not prepared to seek the face of God, what happened? He did evil. He sinned. It means that we sin, we misbehave simply because we are not seeking the Lord. Or our heart is not prepared to seek God. Hallelujah. Are we together in this place? So our heart has to be established. It has to be fixed. That from this day forward, I am one who seeks the face of God. I am one who studies the word. I am one who has my quiet time daily. Hallelujah. One day, I was going to change. My auntie has brought me some euros to change for her and go and put it in her account. And I think it was 2,000 euros or something. So I have this guy who changes foreign currencies for me. And he's a Muslim. So I say, Habib, me come to change some euro. How much is euro? Then he says, oh, wait, you coming? Where are you? I said, I'm coming from Castle. I said, no. Okay, come. I'm going to pray. I'll be coming. 2,000. How many of us here, you are doing change of money? Somebody says, 2,000. You leave church right now and sit down. Hallelujah. No, how many of you will not do that? If you don't know 2,000, let me let you understand. 2,000 is like 24,000. Uh-huh. So you just pass here and just go and change it, and come, you won't die. I took my car to Abosoka and they were working on it. And the guy was working on the doors. The time was up. Then he left and went to pray. I not paid. He was not done. He left. If you like, take your car. That is the picture of a prepared heart. Are we together? Yeah. A picture. No, think of, you know Jesus. You know the author of life. Ma, you don't understand what I'm talking to you about. Some things they hit differently. You know, the Bible says in Acts 3:15, it says, and you killed the prince of life. And the word is author of life. He is the owner of life. I'm not praying to one God we don't know. He is the author of life. Jesus, the author of life. Hallelujah. So meeting him, your heart has to be prepared. And a sign of a prepared heart is readiness and on timeness. You can't say you're quiet 12 and now you are walking 12:10. That's where you are now looking for a place to have your quiet time. No. Hallelujah. So tell somebody, prepare your heart to seek the Lord. So it has to ring earlier so that you prepare yourself. In fact, it's not like 4:30. So it starts ringing at 4:20. So when it starts ringing, you know it's 4:20. Then you wake up exactly, then you pick your Bible. You still didn't prepare your heart. I'm saying that you have to be alive 10 minutes before. Are we together in this place? You have to be alive 10 minutes before. You have to be alive 10 minutes before. Then you start preparing. You pick your Bible. You pick, you know, some of you, maybe if you have it on a table already, where you sit down. Then 10 minutes, your eyes are awake. It's not that 10 minutes now you are going to wash your teeth and what have you. You have done all of that. And I told, don't be having quiet time, you have not brushed. So prepare your heart. In fact, you see, where you have your quiet time should be very holy. Yeah. See, those of you here who know that you will build a house one day, don't say this will be my swimming pool. This will be my... You should have your steady room. Your Bible steady room. Because you are a Christian. That's what I'm talking about. You have your Bible steady room. Then you go there. That place, children don't go there. In ceremony hall. You understand it? Then you are there, you are reading Bible, you are praying. You don't have, you build a house, oh, this is my visitor's room. What again? This is my lounge. You see that, your mouth and your lounge. You should have your prayer room, your study room. All of them can be together, but prayer room, the setting is deep study room. So if you are going to pray, you enter the room, leg get there, 6 hours. You come out and your face is shining already. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So prepare your heart in that set. So those of you who have alarm, begin to reset it, set it and be there. The presence of God, 10 minutes. The reason why some of us come to church late is that even when we are meeting God, we are late. So set it 10 minutes before. Do you understand? Come on, hallelujah. You don't like what I'm telling you. 10 minutes before. Then you know that, yes, you are a Christian. All right. The last one, choose a specific place to constantly have your quiet time. Choose a place. And now it's a name of a person, animal, place, or a thing. So choose a place. Choose a place where you are going to study your Bible. Choose a place where you are going to be praying. Choose a place like that. Hallelujah. See, when you read Luke chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. So Jesus went into the wilderness and prayed. Are we together in this place? Yeah. So when Jesus wanted to have his devotion, he went into the wilderness. The word wilderness in other versions says the lonely places. It tells you when you want to have fellowship with God, one of the things that you must minimize or completely take away is distraction. You should not be having your quiet time in the market. Oh. It's serious. You know, you're having your quiet time at the market. Except maybe you have grown to the point that I cannot survive in that environment. So I don't know about you. You are reading Bible for revelation. Ah, no, please, no. So Jesus went into the wilderness. It can be that corner of. If you live in a place where it is very noisy, then you have to locate a bush or somewhere or around a classroom or something. Do you understand? Then you go, you sit there, then you are reading and you are praying. Those of you staying with your parents, you'll be having, are you here? Kwesi! But you got to go and me. Oh. You can't say you won't go. You are reading Bible and they say, go and buy palm oil. Here you are. God say, have your quiet time. God also tells you to honor your father and your mother. Yeah. Oh, bomb. Something up empire. Yeah, some of us, our parents are like that. When they see you studying Bible, they are even shocked. And then your whole family, everybody will be coming at you. Then they'll be laughing at you. See, this is why some people don't, they are not A in Christ. They'll be laughing at them. You're born some pan and all quiet, you know. Yeah. You see, but have a place where there'll be no distraction whatsoever. No distraction. So there you are. If you are to pray, you can pray. A place where if you want to sing, a place where you want to shout, you can shout. Because there are some quiet times, it can turn into loud times. Are we together? Yeah. It can lead you to a shout. You'll be shouting. I had a quiet time like that. It was a very loud time. A place, if you want to shout, you can shout. You know, sometimes you feel because you are spiritual, you have the license to disturb everybody. Here you are living with your father and your mother. Then you wake up in the morning. Then you expect your father and your mother to understand that you are spiritual. Even me, who is a pastor, you try that, I'll beat you. Yeah. Do you understand? I said, Ma, I'm praying. I've been praying in the house. My father and my mother, they don't agree that I'm praying. You think you have the license to disturb them because now you're a Christian? It doesn't work like that. So you find a place where the two of you, the Bible says that if it is in your power, be at peace with all men. That includes your father and your mother. You understand? Yeah. So you are going to pray, does not mean that go and stay in the living room Oh, ho aba kra afi na ho ho ma sorry. Tendelebe ka. It will sound you are. Do you understand? You don't do that. So if you want to have your do word, go find a place where you are not going to disturb anybody. Hallelujah. If your only option is in the house and you are with your mother, that's why we say it's a quiet time. Pray quietly. Father, I thank you. I thank you. Kadalaka take barabadaba. Or that one, God will not. Or you will not feel the power. Then find a bush. All right. So Jesus went into the wilderness. Let's go to Luke chapter 22, verse 39 and 42. Luke 2,
39.
All right. So coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. Now, you have to underline that thing. So put NLT, a different version, this, and see it. Then, accompanied by the disciple, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. So Jesus had a usual place that he goes to fellowship. Let's go to the next verse. There he told them, pray that you will not give in to temptations. Next verse. He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. So Jesus went to the mount called Olives. All right? And there he prayed. There he had fellowship. So Jesus had a usual place. That means as a Christian, you have a usual place of prayer and the study of the Bible. Are we together? There are a lot of Christians who don't study their Bible because they think where they are is not conducive. You should have a place that when you look at the place, so this is the place I study the word, or there I pray. It can be the house. You can find a spot. Maybe under a tree. If we want to write a Bible with your name, we will say, oh, you often went under the tree. Yeah. To pray or to study the Bible. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let's come to the message of the day. Okay. Now, let's finish with this one, rather. So, in choosing a place, consider the following. Number one, where you will have no distractions. I think I've said all of that already. And then where, if you are going to pray aloud, you will not be disturbing anybody. Be very comfortable to fellowship with the Lord. There are some places, if you are having fellowship there, you are not comfortable at all. All right? You are going to study the Bible. Here you are. Your mother is cooking. And you are fellowshipping there. And the aroma is entering your nose. It's not comfortable. Or you say it's comfortable. It's not comfortable. And because she's cooking, she can even call you. Oh, man, what doom? Oh, Miko, Suyanya, Mia, Semka, Kraba. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So it should be a place where you be comfortable. It should not be too hot. You are studying the word of God and here, like inside an oven, it shouldn't be hot. All right? All right. And then a place that you can have freedom to write, read, and walk about if the need be. All right? So that's that. So this place can be your home, a scheduled area, a secluded area, office, etc. All right. I told you the woman who was having her quiet time on the toilet. It's not cheating like normal, correct this thing. Because she was very busy at work. So every day she'll use the excuse that, oh, she's going to pool. No, I can't lock, you know. Then fellowshipping with the Lord. All right. So the last one, starting your quiet time. How do you structure the time? How do you start your quiet time? I think this time I'll need a board. Bring the board and give me a marker. Do you have a marker in the church? All right, so bring the board. So the first thing, how to start your quiet time. A lot of people don't know how to start their quiet time. So how do you start your quiet time? So these are the tools that are needed for a quiet time. Number one, your Bible. You should have your Bible. Number two, you should have your notebook or your notepad. You have your pen in handy. In fact, it should be a flowing pen. You are in the presence of God and here you are. And God is saying, God is talking, you are now doing your hand like this. No, you should have a working and a flowing pen.
So those are the materials that is needed. Number one, you should always start your quiet time with prayer. All right? You should always start your quiet time with prayer. Start your quiet time. Don't just sit down, open your Bible, and begin reading. Always start your quiet time with prayer. So this is how I usually pray. I wrote a sample of prayer here. So you can go like, you're not supposed to write that. Father, I thank you for today, the opportunity to fellowship with you through the word, prayer, and songs. I receive insight and clarity as I study the word. I receive supernatural ability to put the word to work. I open up my heart and mind for the word to impart and change my life. Thank you for the privilege to hear your voice as I meditate and brood over your word today. It should be a very short prayer. See, the problem we have a lot of time as young people is we are very exuberant, and it's not bad at all. It's not every prayer that you have to pray in tongues. When you do like that, you don't even know how to pray in the first place. Do you understand? Because can you come and lead us into prayer? Most often than not, you see, the Bible actually requires that in the church, the moment you are standing here to minister to the people, don't speak in tongues, or any tongues that come out of your mouth, you have to interpret, including closing prayer and opening prayer. Are we together? So when you do like that, because in this church, if there are 5 people that pray, don't pray in tongues, just pray normal language, pray for 10 minutes, tongues, baby. Do you understand? It's not your fault. It's not a bad thing. All right. Because the Bible says if you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. But this prayer, you open your Bible, kadalabasa. You have to condition your mind in a way you understand. Because entering the spirit begins with the natural. Do you understand? Yeah. So you have to pray in a way you understand. All right. In all humility. Father, I thank you this morning as I open your word. Open my eye. God already knows that you are proud and you are coming to him that morning. Oh God, this morning I come to you. And then Jesus say, hey, this guy don't charge you. No. You have to pray in a humble way. All together. And you have to feel the prayer. You should not write the prayer down. I wrote this down for the purposes of teaching. All together. So after the prayer... So number one is your prayer. Then number two, pick up a passage of scripture. All right? Pick up a passage of scripture and read. See, sometimes when you just tell people, have your quiet time, they will say, okay, we'll have. But you see, reading a Bible sometimes is very difficult. You don't even know where to begin from. How many of us have had that problem before? The Bible is a book, but you don't know where to pick. The first thing is that you start your quiet time, pick up a scripture. And you see, don't be over dramatic and over spiritual about it. You pick a book you are really don't understand, shift. It's quiet time you are having. It's not tough time. All right? So, go to where you understand. Do you know how I started reading the Bible? I started from the Gospels. See, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That one is like telling a story. So, that one tells the story about Jesus. Do you understand? Yeah. I had a friend at school, senior high school. I warned the person. He was a Muslim. So I warned him to the Lord. And then he told me, also give me a Bible. And I said, okay, take the Bible. Then he said, when he comes to school, he will collect the Bible for me. But when he's going, no. So when he's going to the house, he'll give me the Bible. And I said, why? I said, no, when I go home, and my father sees me with the Bible, he will kill me. They will beat me rough. I said, no problem. Then he asked the question, how do I understand the Bible? Because when I read, I don't understand. I said, oh, sorry. Begin from Matthew, Mark, and John. They say, okay. I said, that one, they are just telling a story about Jesus. And you know, when somebody is a serious Muslim and they become born again, they can chew the whole Bible in 2 days. Yeah. It's not like you were born in church, so you don't. Yeah. So the guy came and said, also, I said, yes. He said, Jesus is powerful. Now I'm looking at the guy's face and Jesus is powerful. Then I'm already feeling for him. I wanted to even fall under the anointing for him. Then I said, why? Then he said, was reading John. He said, I was reading John. And the things he found in there were mind-boggling. Think about it. Hallelujah. So begin from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and they are telling stories about Jesus. It's just John who doesn't really tell stories. He goes into theology straight. All right. But it is easy to understand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Can't you understand that? So pick a passage of scripture. And you know, you have to understand there's a difference between Bible study and quiet time. All right? There's a difference between Bible study and quiet time. Bible study at least should be 3 hours. I like the way Pastor Raji is laughing. 3 hours. You have to study the Bible 3 hours. And Bible study should not be daily. Bible study should be at least 2 times a week. So if you're here, you're not having 2 times a week, I'll talk to you about that next month. Will be our month of Bible study. All right? I'll teach you how to study the Bible. So Bible study should be very long. You cannot say you are having a study unless you what? Righteousness. And you are studying it every hour, 1 hour. No, it's not Bible study. You have to 3 hours at a sitting, 3 hours. 3 hours. Then you start getting the truth from the word of God. The reason why many people read the Bible, they study the Bible and they don't get anything out of it. They don't spend a lot of time. They don't spend time. When you study and you take a lot of time, you can't be sitting down. Yeah, how many of you have studied the Bible for a very long time and here you are, you want to fly? Yeah. You can't study. But Bible, how do you call it? Quiet time also should not be long. 1 hour at maybe 2 hours at most. Pick up a passage of scripture. Read. So that's quiet time. It's nothing strange. All right? It's nothing strange. So you pick up a scripture and then you read. Now, this is the trick. If you also have a passage in mind, maybe you are doing your quiet time. So I ask, person says it's quiet time. He's been studying on giving. That's fine. But if you have a scripture in your mind, then you go straight to the scripture. All right? Like me, like this, my quiet time, I started today with Acts. And I'm reading the whole book of Acts. That's my quiet time. Are we together? Hallelujah. So my quiet time is a whole book. So I read small, then I try to understand, you know. And I fell in love all over again with Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Ghost came, the Bible never gets old. Hallelujah. Have it like me, like this. The moment I go, I continue from where I left off. But if you don't have any scripture at all, then you have to pick a passage of scripture and then read. Now, this is it. Read it repeatedly. So read it repeatedly. The scripture that you are reading, don't read it once, all right? Read it repeatedly. So over and over and over again. And you see, quiet time, you don't actually need a lot of scriptures. You can use just one chapter. In fact, is that you should not go beyond one chapter for a quiet time. That's nice, right? Yeah, so just one chapter. And you know, some of the chapters, they are very long. You look at Psalm 119 like this. The longest scripture in the Bible. So that one, you can break it. You know, you can do like 2 chapters. In fact, at time, you can even do 1 verse. Let me give you a perfect example. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Go to Isaiah 41, verse 10. That one, I can use like 6 months to do a quiet time on it. Just like that. All right? Fear not, for I am with you. The fear not alone is a whole quiet. Do you understand? It's 1 verse, but it's loaded. Very loaded. Go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Colossians 2, 10. You understand what I'm talking about? See, and you are complete in him. That is a whole life. You are complete in Christ. It's serious. I'm telling you, very dangerous. Then he says that, who is the head of all principality and power? That is also a point. So sometimes when you do a lot of scriptures in a quiet time, you will not get the best out of it. Because you'll be rushing to read a lot. And if the scripture is only one, that's where meditating. The story is told of Pastor Chris that he was meditating on Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 and he levitated. Quiet time levitation. I swear to God. Look at that 127. You put it up there. 127. Okay. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of the riches of the glory of the mystery. All right? Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This one is not a greeting. Oh, the hope of glory. It's not a greeting. How many about Christ in you? Oh, Christ in you. No, it's not like that. This Christ in you is a different Christ in you. The package called Christ. All right? Inside you. Everything Christ. Like what we read, he's the head of all principal power. So when Christ comes to live inside you, like that totality of a being inside you, you can't tell me you're a Christian and a witch killed you. What's wrong with you? Christ in you. That means you've not been having quiet time here. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So that is that. So you read this. So if this is the scripture, to them God will to make known, then you're reading over and over and over and over again. The moment something stands out from the scripture to you is the moment, is the moment that God has started talking to you. Are we together? When you are reading the Bible and nothing talking to you, God is not talking to you yet. Are we together? Yeah. See, how many of you have read the Bible and literally you began shaking? You felt that God is speaking. Yeah. If you read the Bible and nothing happens, for God so loved the world that he gave, only because hey, then you go, no, it doesn't work like that. God will be talking to you. Because you see, the word of God is God's mind. Is God's thoughts. And he will lead scripture. And when you begin to read it, then it will stand out for you. A typical example. I was reading this scripture one day. And what stood out was the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. Do you get it? So, it was the Gentiles. So why is it so special among the Gentiles? So I started reading about, started a study, because your Bible, your quiet time can lead you to a Bible study. So I was studying about Gentiles. I said, wow. People without God, people who are filthy, people who are referred to as God. Hallelujah. But the thing is that now, the riches of God's glory abides in Navinos, abides in such people. Then one day, Mininemwa, then Christ in you, Dofe, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. The moment Christ comes to live in a person, the whole world can expect glory from the person. You don't understand what I'm talking about? And the word glory is God's weight. So Christ in you, the confident expectation of the weight of God. All these things in quiet time. It is a yes, Christo Betna. Oh. Enipa to me nye ni da swos anipanso. Because I'm for when in tunipa so ube to be a Christo tinimuso. Because they are Christo tinimono or ye nimonyameni das wo. Ah, daba. My God, hallelujah. Take your time, or else you will mess the whole place up. Glory to God. So Christ, then you read, is it Colossians chapter 2 verse 3 or 3 verse 2? Do 2, 3, let's see. 2, 3, let me show you something.
2:3. In this Christ, all right? In him are hid all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Hallelujah. So Christ is like a box, and God has hid all wisdom and knowledge inside him. So when the Bible says, this Christ in you means that we are far box now, buried in me is the treasure of all wisdom and knowledge. This is quiet time. Hold on. Please sit down. You are disturbing me. This is how you read over and over again. The moment something stands out from the scripture to you, God has started talking to you. See, people have dry spells in their quiet time because God does not talk to them, and they leave too quickly. They leave too quickly. So, kind Bible, we are quiet time now. No. I don't leave quiet time if it's from the scripture. And then, come and start scripture. Yeah, sometimes you have to read it over and over, like 20 times. And then you are thinking about it. And then you are thinking, that's meditation. You are thinking about it. You are thinking about it. A story was told of a brother. I say, he was in his quiet time. He was reading the Bible, reading a scripture about, then the Lord opened my eyes or something. I was in the spirit or something, a scripture like that. So he read it over and over and over and over. And suddenly he saw a vision. Think about it. Because the Bible tells you, God opened my eyes. And you are reading that scripture. Your eye has to open. Yeah. And he says, suddenly he had a vision. It's so sweet. This is where the light, the strength of Christians come from. Hallelujah. You sit down, you get it. And over and over and over and over and over and over, over again. Because the word of God is like a hidden treasure. All right? Deep down in the earth. So you go like, Utwa. I'm over senior tribune. The people who mine, the golders and the whoever. What go on? Sometimes the gold is very down. You understand what I'm talking about? They go deep. Because no mineral lies on the surface. Precious minerals are buried deep down. Hallelujah. There are some scriptures you have to read over and over and over and over again. Sometimes the Lord will tell you, come back to that scripture over again. You can be having quiet time on one scripture time for like a week or 2 weeks. Every day reading the scripture and fresh revelations. Fresh revelations. Hallelujah. I remember one time I was studying on 16. Quiet time. My God. And the revelation that came to me, the choir, a friend is saying, hey, what? What's the word party? That day, we finished everybody in the place. I don't perish. The word of God is buried so much. Hallelujah. So much. So over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Until something stands out to you from the Bible. See, when that thing happens to you, that is the moment you begin to build convictions. You're building convictions. Because there are a lot of Christians, they don't have convictions at all. They don't have convictions. Onemu say onemu. Ye praise or to be. Or you nemu yepon akoda. But something can happen to you from the place of quiet time that it will forever remain on you. Hallelujah. All right, let's try to continue so that we can be early. Hallelujah. So you read it repeatedly. When does God start talking to you? When you're reading the Bible, when do you know that God has started talking to you? So it does not mean it picks up, then you stop. When it comes, it means God has started talking. Because it can come and then, hey, you jump in the heat of the moment and you lose everything. Together, right? Okay. Then the next one is that you have to start praying. So when it comes to you like that, you have to start praying in the word that has come to you. That's number one. And number two, you have to write scripture. Quotation now, all day, your quiet time. You have to pray when God starts talking to you from it. And then second, you write down the scripture. Write it down. Don't just read it. Write the scripture down. That's why you need to have a notebook for quiet time only. You write it down. Why do you write it down? To help you make the scripture. One of the powerful things in Christianity is scripture memorization. Hallelujah. Yeah. You should not be having your quiet time. We meet and say, oh, your quiet time today. So I had it. Oh, I was studying on giving. What scripture? Say, hey, John 17:92. No, it should not be like that. I quotation now the year quiet time. No, I say for utrimusa whole day. My quotation in for utrim. Yeah, hallelujah. This is how you are able, or you'll be able to talk to people and speak. Nya bebuo. Yeah, na na say kwancha dey fear this kind of thing. Indian lane. Bro, fear then abad that here. So you'll be talking to people and you know there are some of you young people, the way I'm going to make a that's what scripture they own kai. Okay, I'm quite a homako. Unsech, I mean, who does that? My brother, to me, my proverbs now, I'm just, hey, you know, two proverbs, that's a scripture. See, you start talking God, you see, there is, the wisdom for the elderly. Those are the proverbs. And there is the wisdom of God. So when you are talking to people and you start shooting, you are talking about the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Give a scenario. Maybe somebody has come to you and say, oh, I don't know what is happening to my life. And da, 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 and the person say, I don't know. I want to die sometime. I want to commit suicide. And all of that. Here you are, a Christian. And then you start, wake up, baby. Where have you been going? Huh? I didn't say I am moving, I'm so bummed. So the person comes to you and you start shooting scriptures. You may not be opening Bible, but you are talking in the scripture. That is the wisdom of God. That is what saves people. It brings them from death to life. You read Proverbs 8, he says, I am wisdom, there is life with me. That's God's wisdom. He says, there is life with me. Then, and now we make a movie now. Say, there is a movie now. Yes, Nigeria movie. Be now, Christo Neon. I saw them. Hallelujah. So you don't do that. It brings wisdom to you. You begin to talk with wisdom. Then people will begin to say, hey, Charlie, this guy is mature. Serious. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, I want you to be serious. Tell the person, I want you to be serious. So you write it down. That is the memorization. Then you memorize. So when you call Cody Baba, you describe Baba. Udini Baba, Udini Baba. Sometimes we rebel to me FCD. It happens to even me. Everybody. Well, that scripture waits either. Yeah. It's natural. Yeah. But to me, I'll boy Ecclesiastes 4:15. I said no canons with Genesis 3. A funny dream, that's what it is. I didn't also. Hallelujah. There are some scriptures they look alike.
in the quotation. Two people say, "Ofa ha na ish afa ha." Ofa obe tennis ah. Two people say, "Ohana vose mame mo semi." A lot of things happen on the pulpit you don't know. Yeah, but it's normal. You should not. You see, you should never stop memorizing scriptures. I've memorized some chapters. Chapters in my head. I'll be writing them down. I'll be saying meti. I'll be saying meti. Once I've been now tome. Now tome. The moment you keep on like that, you have a lot of scriptures in your head. And it directs your path. You don't fool. Do you understand? Like this scripture I'm about to quote right now. 1 Timothy 2:15 or 2 Timothy 2:15. I know it is one of the 15. Or it is either 3:15 or 3:15. 3:15. You see, because one of the 2:15s, there is something there. So go to 3:15, 3:15. You see, So it's not this one I'm talking about. It's not. So go to second. You see. Go to second Timothy. Are we together? Yeah. So second and this one, they confuse a lot. So he says, and from child you have no scriptures which are able, it has the ability to bring wisdom. So when you don't know the scriptures, you are a fool. That's what you are in this world. You are divinely or in God's way, you are foolish. Because you can be a fool and be very wise in the world. All right? That's what it is. So after you are done with that, after you finish writing and you are done with the memorizing, then I do something that is called scripture paraphrase. The paraphrasing of the scripture. So that is, you write the scripture in a way you understand. All right? So those of you who watch my status, I did the gospel translation of Isaiah 41 verse 10. It's my own translation. No, but it's nobody's translation. Who has it? Because 24 hours, it is gone. Yeah. Very nice. And people, the day I read it in church, people were screaming and shouting. Katalaba. Yeah. You rewrite it in the way you understand. That means the scripture has come to stay in your head. When you are done, then you take your time and then you pray yourself out. How does that scripture apply to you? What are you going to do having heard that? So maybe Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's what you did. And here you are. You've always been maybe shy. You've always felt like nothing good will come out of you. You've always, Charlie, you are just walking in the world and see, you don't care whatever is going on. Mm-mm. Then you get to know Christ in you. He's going to change your thinking. Christ in me means it will never get worse with me. No matter the pit I find myself in, Christ is in the hope. I am the hope of glory. Hallelujah. One time I was reading, and when the Bible says when Jesus was dead, he went to hell and declared victory to the prisoners in hell. It ministered to me in a different way. That this kind of life that we have, even when you say you are dead, you still have efficacy. Hallelujah. That is it. So here you are, you feel like, oh, this life, there is life even inside death. The Bible says, Jesus, I lay down my life so that I will take it again. It doesn't make sense. This is your life. If you lay down the life, you are dead. So with what again are you going to use to pick it? And Jesus says that even when you lay down your life, you still have the ability to pick it back. Mandele Bosha. Hallelujah. Oh, speak in tongues for 2 seconds. You're leaving this place and you are going to have your quiet time like never before. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So have that in your mind. Let's go to Proverbs 4. 21. Verse 20. Let's go to 20. My son, give attention to my words. God is talking to you this morning.
Hallelujah. My son, give attention to my words. Are we together? Give attention to my words. This is what God is saying. He didn't say read my word. He says give your attention to my word. So when you study the word, what do? Come on. You're reading the Bible in your quiet time. What do? You have to give attention to the word. Then he says, then incline your ears to my sayings. That means you have to attend to the word. Hear the word. How are you going to hear the word? Speak it. All right? Let's go to the next verse. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Are we together? And then he says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Had your quiet time throughout the day. The word of God should be what will be running through your mind. Any situation you find in the day, your first thing should be, I've had my quiet time today. What did God tell you? Are we together in this place? Because you can't have your quiet time and then you went and you had a situation with somebody and then you started insulting the person. That morning you spoke to God. So what happened? What happened? That morning you spoke to God. So what happened? So the quiet time is meant to take you throughout the day. Are we together in this place? Throughout the day. And then as you are moving around, you'll be talking, muttering the word. The Christian life is highly spiritual. You see why people run to prophets and pastors? Because it's not easy. If you have not built enough capacity in you, when there's a situation, you run to one prophet somewhere, it's 1,000 Ghana, before you see a person whose face is like a human being. Yeah. Some people go to church and an old man, young men who have gone to school, old man will be giving them powder. Or a camera, or be fierce with the banner. They are born in powder. Or she will be a coma funnel. Yeah. What's wrong with you? If you sat down, studied the word, and prayed, imagine the whole year you've had higher time. Every day, if you're doing one scripture alone, it means that in the whole year you've memorized 365 scriptures. Who do you think you are? Yeah. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. I was watching a video of a man of God. He says he studied on healing for like 3 years. That was like his quiet time and what have you. Every day healing. Apart from his normal preaching. Obaya healing. Obaya healing. Not say one time when you are boiled. I laid my hand. I said, and the thing vanished. Yeah. He said, shh. Yeah. So think about this kind of person. It'd be difficult for the person to die. Yeah. Yeah. You see, Pastor Chris shared a testimony of one lady who had accidents in Christ Embassy. And the lady wanted to die because she was in pain. So she started praying, God, please, I want to come home. I just want to die. And then he said, an angel came to her and said, they gave me a message to tell you that you have spoken so much life that you can't die now. It will take the same years to stay there till you die. Yeah. Then he said, now, Father, then heal me. Change the prayer. You can speak life to the point that you can't die. That's what I'm talking about. No. Listen, truly, truly, eh? When we're in senior high school, when I wake up in the morning, I was in the house, I'll stand at my home. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. Every fiber of my being, the life of God, I'm alive. I'm alive. My 3 years journey in senior high school, I never felt sick. And when we're in form three, somebody came to me and said, he was a Muslim. I want to be born again. I said, why? Because hearing you, every second break, you say, I don't fall sick. And you never fell sick. I say, it's true. Will you believe in Jesus now? Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah. So imagine if you cook yourself. Nambalabaya. You say, shh. Here you are. Here you have boy. There you are. There are some things you think. Sometimes you are a man, not boy, baby. Then you are walking around, ah, la bye. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah. So if you meditate, you know, go to the next verse. Go to 22. 22. 22. For they are, he says the word, they are life to those who find it. When, listen, he uses a powerful word. He didn't say it's life for those who read it. He didn't even say it's life to those who study it. Those who find. So what you are going to search to find. So you search, and you find. The Bible says now it is health. The found word is life, and it is health. Why am I born again and I'm still battling with asthma? Simple, because I have not found the word. Why am I born again and here I am? I'm still battling encyclopedia because you have not searched the word. Yeah. The name of your sickness, say encyclopedia. Why am I a Christian and I'm still dealing with sickle cell? Because I have not found the word. I can't be born again and I'm waking up and I'm breathless. I went to the China Mall and I bought this mouth spray. So a brother saw me and said, "Hey, what's up, that's what I when you ask me?" I said, "I can't answer." Hello, Emma. You find the word. Hallelujah. You find the word. Are we together in this place? You find the word. A near man who was going to, he's a pastor, he was going to Kumasi in a VIP bus. And there were robbers in the bus. He was going to have a crusade. And they were attacking. Lifted the gun. Everybody passed. We know that kind of thing. Then he told the armor bearer, "These people will put down their guns right now." Inside the same bus. Then he got up and said, "I command you in the name of Jesus, put down your guns. If you have not found that word and you go and do that, you open your eyes and you are in heaven." Yeah. "See, I command you in the name of Jesus, lay down your guns." It came in the news many years ago. Yeah. And the armed robbers got born again and he went to do the crusade with them. And it was their test that brought a lot of people to the crusade. What are you talking about? Yeah. There's one scripture the Bible says that they wanted to lay hands on Jesus. And the Bible says, he didn't run home. No, ilala. Glory. You couldn't touch him, like, it's gone. What manner of man is Jesus? When they were about to arrest him, then he went forward and said, he told us, "Whom do you seek?" Then they said, "We are looking for Jesus." Then said, "The one you are looking for, I am he." The Bible said they went back. And then I don't know which angel was pushing them. Boom. So when the word is found, it comes with life. It comes with health. The Bible people would say, "The Bible is not true. Some white men wrote it and brought it to us." It is changing people who find it. And when you're having your time, you find it. Hallelujah. Are we together in this place? Yeah. Because this man of God, I've forgotten his name, Agbozo. They say they call him Agbozo. Yeah, he said he's called Agbozo. So you know where he's coming from. Came a man of God. They say he'll go and have a crusade. He'll sit in the car and tell the wife, "I'm coming. I'm coming." He's in the house. Yeah. Yeah. Archbishop mentioned that man. And how do you call it? Pastor Obed also mentioned the man. I've been looking for the man's book to read. I'm not getting some. Yeah. The service. "Oh, I'm coming. I'm in the house. I'm coming." By the time prayers, you see him in the church. Yeah. Yeah. They said the wife can go inside. Like, "Oh, he's inside like that." And oh, pay me an oba. Obe banana. Niku nampano so. Yeah. A Ghanaian man. See, Ghana, we don't preserve history.
That's why when Nigerian people make it look like Ghanaians don't have any pastor, it pains me like that. Very powerful. One time I vanished. It means I've not found the word. Yeah. For both ministry by unlocking me. Yeah. In the name of Jesus, enter my room. Me yard here na be 20 minutes. And fana me ko die. Ko pass your baby na. Me ko ru dynasty baby die. I'm fa. There are people who have found the word of angels. Yeah. Yeah. Apostle Joshua Selman said that he left his wallet somewhere. Very long. And he realized like he left it like in Accra. He said, oh, my wallet. My wallet, my wallet. Then a guy was sitting on a bicycle. So, oh, I brought you your wallet. He took the wallet, he turned, and there was nobody on the bicycle. Angel, things are happening. Praise the name of the Lord. And it happens when you have that relief with the Lord. You can't even pray 2 hours, and you want to teleport. To where? Where exactly are you going? No. Because they can take you, but you may not come back. Where are you going? Hallelujah. You've not found the way. But go and look. Hallelujah. The story was told of Amy McPherson. She went to buy shoe for the daughter. And now I'm going to say, I'm not a financial. Mean to mean, because it's her. Yeah. She's called, she was a very powerful woman of God. She's called Amy McPherson. Christian evangelist. He took the shoe and he held the mouth. And put it as if I to the same size 44. Yeah. Think about it. You look at Dr. Moore, somebody is sitting, and one leg is like this. Yeah, evangelist Moore. Then you hold a short hand there. A bar has a straw. He has found life somewhere in the world. Hallelujah. I was watching Archbishop Charles Nassari. Lama. Master, healing a charman crown, I'm telling you. The man is dangerous. Yeah. Ha! My God! What? He was preaching. Somebody came, one leg, there's no bone inside. The person has done 15 operations. They've taken all the bones out. In one leg. He was preaching, commanded the bone to come. And the person started walking. Bone has come from heaven. And then he said, I believe that when people make cars, they have spare parts. God cannot make human beings and will not have spare parts in heaven. Yeah. And it came back, and somebody whose testicles were removed. Two. Yeah. The testes came back. What are you talking about? Yeah. Oh, he showed everything. The videos were there on TV3. I don't, Onia, whatever. You didn't watch. Yeah. Now, who you tell? Oh, you are okay. Sorry. You are here. Quiet time, quiet is a problem. Labor unto the nations. You see, the way you are laughing in prayer, that's how angels are laughing. I don't go anywhere. Yeah. Where are you going to? Where are you going to? You sit down at the well. You are looking for a mineral. You are looking for gold. You are excavating. You are mining the well. You know, what's his name? Prophet Achumanase. He said he was nowhere. And he read the scripture. He says, and the word, it fell in me like a tree. Ging, ging. Said the word, yeah. See, the word came like a tree. Ging, ging. I'll shake it or what? People of God, there is life in the Bible. I said, there is life in the Bible. This is the last day I'm going to talk about. Yeah. I'll be talking about meditation and other things. You know, this is the last time. So you have to go and have it. If you do it once every week, it's supposed to be times a week, including Sunday. Yeah, because I had mine today before coming to preach to you. Are we together? Yeah. There is life in the word. It will change. Think about Jesus. When he rose from the dead, the records has it that 40 days back to back teaching his apostles before his ascension. 40 days. Nobody. Who called Baba Chew? Peter called Chew Punimo. Say, come, brother. Hey, if you love me, come and feed my. Come. 40 days back to back. Or you run away back. And the scripture I read to you in Acts is, are these not people who speak Galileans? So these people who are speaking, are they not Galileans? Do you understand that? When you look 2:46 or Luke 1:46, one of the 46, or is either John, I think it's John. You see what I'm talking to you about? John 1:46 or something 46. John 1:46 or John 2:46. Put it there. John 1:46. Can you imagine that? And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Galilee was a city in Nazareth. Or Nazareth was a city in Galilee, one of them. One is a suburb, one town. So Galilee is the main town. Good. And they say, could anything good come out of Nazareth? It means that Galilee, you see, the record has that Galilee was known to be harsh. It's full of unpolished people. So maybe you are looking at Zongo. Yeah. Unpolished people, you know. Oh, I mean in Zahom Zongo, because I know there. Yeah. Unpolished. You go and this is yesterday. Anybody talks to you anyhow. Then somebody comes to say, a powerful man of God has Zongo. You say, is Legon Zongo or is it in Zahom Zongo? So when the people were praying in tongues, they say, when they heard the things they were saying, the marvelous things, and the precision with which they were speaking their native language, say, are these people Galileans? How can they speak with such clarity? They've contacted the word, and they've contacted the spirit of the word. You understand what I'm talking about? Don't be an ordinary Christian. Who to me said, Emmanuel, how many of you have been there before? You are not just in the mood. Then you... If they came to ask you, Ante, Aden Ausu. I don't know. Be upstanding. Hallelujah. How many of us are going to put the word to work this Sunday? You're going to really work on it. You're going to set alarm before your time for quiet time. Yeah, you are going to do that. You are going to get times to pray in your quiet times. And then lastly, when you finish, pray. All right. Yeah, thank God for the revelation he gave you. Possible, share your quiet time with somebody. That's one way for you to get it to stick in your head. Share your time with somebody. Are we together? Yeah, we are going to pray for 5 minutes. And you're going to prepare your heart to seek God from this day. That help me, Lord. Let this thing not be one of the jargons, but may I wake up in the looking for my Bible, not looking for my phone. May I wake up in the morning, having my quiet time, and all of that. Hallelujah. Lift your two hands up and begin to pray in the language of the Spirit. Bada Baba Mashai.
I have in me the burden.